Hey everybody, welcome to Serenity Church. There's no way that Shay got the announcements done faster than I did. I'm just saying. It's so good to be here with you guys. Thank you for coming. I just want to welcome everybody. If this is your first time, we just want to say welcome home. My name's Logan Williams. I'm a very grateful recovered meth addict. An alcoholic. Someone introduced me to a new person earlier. This is the meth prison guy. So my name's Logan. I'm the meth prison guy. And that pretty much sums up about 25 years of my life. So good to be here. Hey, we're gonna pass the baskets right now. And I hate this part. You know, but I've learned in my walk that like God doesn't need our money. He doesn't need our money, but this is an avenue in which he uses to bless us. When we put him first, yeah. It was very early on, he revealed to me that I had an idol in my life, and that was the dollar sign. And if I wanted to be all in with him, I needed to honor him with the first 10% that came in, and he has blessed me to overflowing. And I like to say, don't give to a church, give through a church. Your dollars go, they get multiplied into radically transformed lives, into homeless people getting fed, into Maranatha Ministries that does prison ministry around the world. And I know some of y'all may remember Pastor Stefan. He should be back in April. He can't wait to come and tell us what he's been doing. And the ways to give are on the screen, or you can just scan the QR code there on the baskets. Thank you guys so much for your generosity.
In a red box.
Oh, there's a red box too. If you just want to stick something in there, you can do that. Or you can download the Tithely app. We have so many ways to give. So it's so easy. Serenity Church. I just love Serenity Church. It was, you know, almost three decades of drug use and treatment center after treatment center and detox and then long-term ones and short-term ones. And just couldn't get this recovery thing, but was able to find freedom here. It was when I finally put recovery with Christ at the center of it. I just love Serenity Church, and so I just want to say thank you guys for coming. We are talking about promises this month, and one of the things, you know, we've learned in my walk is that his promises, they're not just like words on a page. They are anchors that we can anchor our lives in if we can find them and we can put them in our hearts and live from them. When life gets uncertain, when circumstances change, man, the promises of God don't change. They remain the same. He never changes. And the same honestly can be said about the promises of the big book. If you remember my last message, I proved to y'all that this book came from the Bible. If you don't remember that one, go back and look at it, because I get a lot of flack from that. Oh, this is just an AA book, but it came from Scripture. I proved it last time. So the promises in here are just as powerful because they came from Scripture. And we always read the nine-step promises, but there's a whole lot more of them in there. And I'm going to mention a few of them tonight. 2 Peter 1:4 says, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises. Precious and very great promises. So that through them we may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Like, we are going to become partakers of the divine nature. We are going to abide with him. We are going to partake with him. We are going to have the same power that raised people from the grave in us, that called people out the tomb in us. And then when we go into the valley, when we go into the darkness, we're not doing it on our strength. We're doing it in his strength. And I want his strength because it's supernatural. And this should give us hope. He's given us these promises, not just to comfort us with peace and his presence and forgiveness and eternal life, but to transform us and make us partakers of the divine nature. Just real quick, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Look at this. This is our boy Abraham. Well, he's Abram in this scripture. He says, now the Lord said to Abram, Go from your country and your people and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the people of the earth shall be blessed through you. And then there's verse 4, which says, so Abram went as the Lord told him. And I, you know, we read that as if, yeah, man, that's Abram. He heard from God and he went. But it's not like God was asking him to change jobs or to move to another town. He's like, take your family and leave the country. Like, get out of the country, leave everything, get out of your promise zone, your comfort zone. And as great and as amazing and as awesome as the promise was, he still had to move when God said to move. He still had to pursue the promise. Like, it all hinged on verse 4. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. My Abram-like promise was in that hotel room August 11th of 2021 when God just kept downloading to me, hey man, if you want to stop this madness, I'm surrounded by pounds of dope, about 8 different kinds of drugs, crazy people with tattoos on their face. Not that tattoos on the face are a bad thing, but they're crazy people, credit card fraud, all the stuff, prostitution, all the, we're just trying to keep this party going as long as we can. And God said, hey man, if you get up and leave this room, I got you.
Come on now.
Yeah.
But don't do it if you don't want to. That's how I knew it was from God. But if you want to stop, just get up and leave this room, and I've got you. And as awesome as that promise is, I had to get up and leave the room. I had to give away all that dope. I had to pull the needle out of my arm, and it felt like I was jumping off a cliff. So there are promises in the Bible that are just gonna happen. Like, Jesus is coming back. Like we win. There's things that are written that are going to happen. But I believe that there are other promises that we have on our life that may or may not happen, depending on whether we step into them or not. Three things about God's promises. Number one, the promise is a foreshadowing, okay, of what your life could look like if you fully obey God. Mine was very vague. Get up and leave this room and I got you. I got you is a pretty good promise, and God has got me. If any of y'all knew me when I got here, it was ugly, to say the least. And God has had me, and it hasn't been very long. Number two, the promise is always greater than your past. He's not going to call us away from something unless he has something better for us. And a lot of us get caught up in the, well, I don't know, that doesn't make sense to my brain. I think I'm going to get shortchanged over here. This is going to be uncomfortable or bad. It may be, but in the end, it's going to be greater than where you were, or he wouldn't have called you to that. And number three, your promise must be pursued in order for it to be fulfilled. And so in order for me to pursue the promise, to pursue God, I had to give away all those drugs. I had to lay down sexual sin, which was a big deal at the time. It was about 2 weeks sober. He hits me with, hey, man, you're not all in. I want you to lay down sexual sin. And then it was a few weeks later that he said, hey, that dollar sign is on the throne, and I want you to take it off the throne and put me on the throne. Well, how do you want me to do that, God? I want you to give the first 10%. Oh, man, that's some church stuff. Like, I'm just trying to not do meth right now. And he's like, yeah, but it's an idol in your life. And every time he would ask me to do something, he would always backdoor it with, imagine what life could look like if you just got all the way in one time. You've never got all the way in, Logan. Just get all the way in with me one time. And if you're like me and you just gave away pounds of dope, it's like, I'm already in, man. Like, what's one more little thing, you know? Because I didn't want to waste that, man. That kept me sober for a while, because I knew if I relapse, I'm going to feel like the biggest idiot because I gave away all that dope. I mean, it's just the truth. And so when he asked me to lay down sexual sin, man, that was hard. That was hard. But imagine what life could look like if you just got all the way in. And when he asked me to start giving, man, I was cleaning houses with Susie. Remember Susie? And I was making about 50, 60, 70 bucks a day. And so what, you want me to give you $5, $6? Yes, that's what I want you to do. And I've been doing it ever since, and I've been blessed. He doesn't need my $5, $6. Now it's more. But He's used that to bless me with peace of mind, with better decision making. I don't mess money off like I used to. God math, he can do more with 90% than I ever could with 100. And that's just the truth. That's just how it's been in my life. So whatever that promise is, I know she's getting antsy over here because I'm talking too long. Guys, whatever that promise is for your life, we need to figure out what it is because it's irrevocable. Romans 11:29 says the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. And I just feel like there are people in the room today that have a promise, that have a calling on your life, but you haven't moved. You've known in your heart that you need to lay something down. You've known in your heart, maybe I need to pursue this career or pursue this school or pursue this ministry or give to this thing or volunteer over here, but you just haven't moved. And God is waiting for you to move. What would life look like if you just got all the way in one time?
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Logan. Okay, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you've done in our lives together. We thank you for everything you've done with our family and with this family here. Lord, we've seen so many miracles happen, so many promises come true, people's lives changed. And Lord, I know you're going to keep doing it and doing it again. So if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you, Lord, that is just accidentally here, Father God, I ask that you just plant seeds today. You move today. You have your way. Bring them closer to you. Break the chains that you've broken in our lives, Lord. We love you. This is your church. This is your time. Use us to speak to your people, to your children. Today, Lord, we invite you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So what we're going to do is go through a typical recovery story. It's what it was like in the yuckiness, what happened, how did we change, what happened to us, and what it's like today, right now. So we're going to go into some yuckiness. And what a wonderful topic for this month is God's promises. One of the things that God also gives us is warnings, and they are also promises. He promises that this will happen if you continue to live in sin. Death will happen. And so we want to talk about some of those things. And some when I was, before I started following Christ, I thought, man, who am I going to be if I just go all in? I'm not going to be the same me, and maybe I won't like who I become. But God created me to be a woman that follows him and that has a purpose as I am obedient to him. And so God's commandments are not meant to chain us down and to hold us down as slaves. They're given to us to guard us and to protect us against this law, the flesh, the enemy, and the devil, and that wants to kill, steal, and destroy us. So being obedient to God gives us life, and life abundantly. Amen. So, amen.
Amen.
Deuteronomy 30, 19 through 20 says, "Today I ask heaven and earth to be witnesses. I am offering you life or death, blessings or curses. Now choose life. Then you and your children may live. To choose life is to love your Lord, your God, obey him, and stay close to him." So we have a choice. God gives us free will. And God is asking us to choose life. He doesn't want us to go through the pain and the darkness, the emptiness that sin causes. And for a long time, I chose death through many, 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 many sins and disobedience. I lived in such darkness for so long. I hated myself. I couldn't even look at myself in the mirror without cussing at myself. I thought I deserved abuse from men, and I was no good other than using drugs and drinking and stealing and all of those things that comes with that lifestyle. And I definitely felt like I was dead inside. How about you, Logan? Before you chose life with Christ, what was it like for you?
It was pretty frustrating. You know, I grew up in a pretty good home. They weren't Christians, but they were good people, and I had promising future. I was good in school. All this potential, right? When people say you have potential, that's pretty much means you haven't done anything, but you could, you know. And gosh, man, I just got gripped by addiction, 15, 16 years old, and I just couldn't stop. It was so frustrating, round and round and round and round. Parents just, you know, can't understand. And it just goes on. Like, it'll just keep on going, you know. And for me, it lasted a really long time. And in the treatment center after treatment center turned into jail, which turned into prison, which turned into just a life of some years in prison, a few months out doing bad, back in prison again, a few months out. It was so frustrating, and I just couldn't stop, no matter what I tried. Titus 3:3 says, "At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures." It's telling me, man, that if we stay foolish and disobedient, we're going to be enslaved. Like, sin will enslave you. It's not something that people do occasionally. It becomes a master that binds us, guys. It controls, it leads to death. But in Christ, we can be set free from slavery to sin and from becoming servants, and we would become servants of righteousness. How do we do that? We work the steps. We work the steps, man. It is Christianity for dummies. And I see it at the church I work at all the time. People come in, they come to the altar, they have this experience, and then someone hands them a Bible, pats them on the butt, and, you know, good luck with that. If you're a drug addict like me, I need someone to give me directions. I need precise instructions. And what the steps do is it gets you connected with God. It clears away all the wreckage, all of the stuff that blocks us from His power. And if we come in and we're powerless, then what we need is power. And to get that power, I've got to clear away all the stuff that's blocking me from the power. Step 12, so, and you're going to hear this a few times throughout this, I believe is the best promise in the big book. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, that tells me that the first 100 people that wrote this book that were hopeless, that were dying just like I was, that they worked these steps and they had a spiritual awakening, which removed the obsession for them to do whatever it is that was killing them. And so it's the greatest promise in the big book, I believe, that but it's hard to just get that across to a newcomer, man. If you work all 12 of them, you're going to have this spiritual awakening, and you're going to become, if with Christ in the middle of it, we're going to get set free from sin, but we're going to be servants of righteousness. And are we going to be perfect? No, we're not going to be perfect, but we're going to have freedom in our lives. And when we do stumble, we're going to have a process by which we return to God. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. Amen. Also.
Okay. Thank you, Logan. I really love this. That it says in Proverbs 8:17, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. God comes and removes our, we need God to remove our selfishness. When we're living in sin and drug addiction and alcohol and sexual sin, we're living in the flesh, and it's very selfish. And the big book says we cannot get over self without His aid. And that's exactly what He does. And when He removed all of that for me, I was not diligently seeking Him. I wouldn't call it diligently. I was a single mother of 3 kids. We lived in an apartment. I was using drugs, drinking. I was in a 2-year-long affair with a married man. And I woke up one day and I looked at my children and I said, they are getting too big, like too fast. And I'm not doing anything to improve their lives. I need to do something. I remember thinking, the kids that I used to go to school with that went to church, they had like a happy family. They had a good head on their shoulders. They were positive. They didn't make, you know, as many mistakes as I did. And so I started taking my kids to church. And I actually was with Brett's mom, Tammy, and another lady, Janet, and I would go to church with them. And I would go to CR, and my mom would go with us too. And I remember just being there and thinking, looking at these people and saying, if they knew what I did outside of church, they would not want me here. And so I kept that quiet. I was having a lot of hidden sin. But, you know, when when I look back and when I maybe see somebody today that might have hidden sin, you kind of know what's going on. You can kind of get an idea. And I'm sure people could get an idea of what kind of lifestyle I was living just by the way I acted and dressed. And so I would go to church two times a week, one for CR and one for church service, which I think was on a Thursday at that time or a Wednesday. And then worship would start. And I remember I was so uncomfortable in my own skin and just like, this is weird. You know, people worshiping and raising their hands and worshiping the Lord. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm just not. And I eventually got to where I would lip sing, you know, just lip sing the words. And maybe then I got to a little rock back and forth. And we kept going and going and showing up. And in my willingness to keep showing up, God still moved. So one day, Tammy and Brett's mom was with us, and my kids have been seeing all this worship. And my daughter, Jayla, she's my middle child. She was 10 at the time. She just lifted her hand one day in worship, and I'm standing behind her, and she's like right in front of me. And her little hand, her 10-year-old little hand's there. And I said, there is no way I'm going to let her do that by herself. And I'm going to be brave. Like, who am I? If she can do it, I'm going to do it. I lifted my hand and I worshiped the Lord. And the very next day, I got in an argument with this 2-year-long affair, dude. And the relationship ended like that. I couldn't get away from him. I had some sort of spiritual soul tie chain. I don't know what it was exactly, but I know God broke it in that moment. And then right after that, there was a weekend where I went to go visit my dad with the kids, and he does not drink. And I thought, well, maybe I can not drink too and not smoke weed and pop some pills or whatever. And I did. And I thought, well, I made it through 2 days, a whole weekend. Maybe I can keep doing it. And I did. One day at a time, I kept doing this. And then I realized, when this all began, it was because I was just a little bit obedient, and I surrendered. So even though I wasn't diligently seeking him for myself, it happened to be I was seeking him for my children. He moved in my life. And praise the Lord, I am a totally different person than I am today, and he keeps moving in my life. I would love to share all the amazing testimonies that I have of him just moving right in front of me and using me. We don't have time for all that, but I will tell you, if you want to have lunch with me one day, we can go through some of that stuff. So the cool thing about Jesus and what we say here is that it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you're doing. He will meet you where you are. And the place in the Bible where it says that is when Jesus was on the cross with the two criminals. He was right by two criminals who actually were breaking the law. And one of the criminals was mocking him, and the other one believed who he was. And he said, this guy he's an innocent person. He doesn't deserve to be up here. And he's called the penitent thief. And so when he said to Jesus, hey, remember me when you go to heaven, Jesus responded, you will be with me in paradise today. And so God loves us right where we are. Just be a little bit obedient, a little bit willing, and he will meet you where you are. And then I have one more scripture, Matthew 7:7-11. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will open. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? My Father gives good gifts. Amen. He gives good gifts to my children. He will give good gifts to you. I was just asking God to help my kids. And he totally changed my life. Logan, what can you say about being obedient to God and receiving good gifts?
Well, I just have to talk about that thief on the cross. I love that story because he literally just said, remember me. And he was the first one in. under the new covenant. Now, what would that look like in 2026 in Dallas, Texas at a big church? I don't know, guys. Let's get him down off that cross and get him in a life group. Let's get him baptized. Wait, he hasn't taken growth track. He can't serve yet. Let's make sure and get him through growth. You know what I mean? Like, it's absolutely nothing that we did. It's nothing that he did. And I think God made an example out of that. Like, he was the first one in. I mean, could you imagine that guy, like, walking into heaven? Could you imagine the angels? Like, whoa, what's this dude? I don't know. This dude said I was in. Like, it's literally nothing we did, and we have to have that in our hearts, because a lot of times we want to check all the boxes. And it's good to check those boxes, but our salvation does not hinge on anything that we do, but everything that he did.
Amen.
And the first one in under Jesus' new covenant was the guy that did the least, was hanging there dying, said, "Remember me," and then a few minutes later was in. That's just amazing. What was the question?
What can you say about being obedient to God and receiving good gifts from your Father?
Well, I'm going to read page 62 in the big book, because we need to hear it as often as we can. Because when I come in, I think that drugs is my problem. I think that other people are my problem. I think that the police are my problem. I think that my mom is my problem. All these people just need to just get it in line. And if they would leave me alone. But it says right here, and this is so key and so important. I want you all to, as I read this, think about your life. Think about your life right now. Selfishness and self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our trouble. Hold on, sponsor. No, no, no. Meth is my trouble. Selfishness doesn't put me in prison. Yes, it does. Driven by 100 forms of fear. Can anyone relate to 100 forms of fear in here? Self-seeking, self-pity. We step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. Sometimes they hurt us. Seemingly without provocation, like, I don't think I did anything wrong, but invariably we find, that means every single time, we find that at some time in the past, we have made decisions based on self, which placed us in a position to be hurt. You won't see that in your life unless you get a sponsor and you work the steps. I say it all the time. If this bottle represents my life, all I can see is that there's this recycling thing on the back. I have no idea that it's great value, purified drinking water. All I see is a recycling thing. And so when I do a fifth step with somebody and I share my inventory, I think I can see into my life, but they're seeing my life from another set of glasses, and they can give me truth. And it's true, man. With all of my resentments, every single time, if you just keep rewinding the tape, where I set the ball rolling every single time on all of my problems. So it says, so our troubles we think are basically of our own making. They arise out of ourselves, and the overcomer is an extreme example of self-will run riot, though he usually doesn't think so. Y'all don't think your self-will run riot, do you? Above everything, we must be rid of this selfishness, it says. So you mean it's more important for me to get rid of this selfishness than it is for me to stop drinking? Is it more important for me to be rid of this selfishness than it is to wage war against my sin? This selfishness is the root that causes all of those moles in the whack-a-mole game to pop up. Every single one of them. And it's the thing that's going to block me off from the power of God. I must be rid of this selfishness. We must, or it kills us. God makes that possible, and there often seems no way of entirely getting rid of self without his aid. Many of us had moral and philosophical convictions galore. That means, yeah, man, I got all these grand ideas of how I want to act and what I want to do and how I'm going to treat other people. But we could not live up to them even though we would have liked to. Neither could we reduce our self-centeredness much by wishing or trying on our own power. We had to have God's help. So we need God. If we're powerless, we need power. And on page 57 of the big book, in We Agnostics, there's an amazing promise right at the end. It says, even so, God restored us all to our right minds. All of them. To this man, the revelation was sudden. Some of us grow into it more slowly, but he has come to all of us who have honestly sought him. When we drew near to him, he disclosed himself to us. Sometimes we have to get in a pretty bad spot before we honestly seek him, unfortunately, but you don't have to. You don't have to wait till the wheels are completely fallen off of your life to honestly seek him. He's going to come to all those who honestly seek him. That's from the big book. From the big, big book, Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. When you just bear it all, man. And you say, God, here I am. Good, bad, ugly. Man, I need you. I'm calling on your name, Jesus, to save me. And I need you. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's a promise that we need to stand on. But what does it imply? Who draws near first? Like, God is always here, but he's always waiting on us to draw near to him. And when we do, when we can just look his way, when we can just give him some attention, when we can just say, God, man, I am struggling, or God, I am not struggling. I'm super happy, and I just want to give you thanks and praise. He's going to draw near to us. And one more, Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Do you see a pattern here? We've got to seek. Like, diligently, I looked that word up and I thought I put the definition down here, but apparently I didn't. But diligently implies hard work. When I think of diligently chasing after something, I think of how I chased after the dope, how I chased after that next lick, how I chased after the money to get the dope, how I chased after all those sinful things that I wanted. I put some work into it because I wanted that thing. We've got to put some work into it. We've got to get that prayer bead and pray those prayers. And we will find him if we diligently seek him.
It's your turn. This is you.
So, listen, man, you've heard about my story in the hotel room. Crazy, amazing. People still don't believe that Logan Williams is sober. Even today, they don't believe that. And for a while, I couldn't either. All these crazy, expensive treatment centers, all this time in jail and prison. And it's like, is it just that easy? Could I just walk out of this room? And that's all it's going to take, God, and you've got me? And then he immediately, when I got into that Oxford house, you know, it took about 1,000, one in a million coincidences to get me there. Okay, he did have my back, like he said. He talked about, you're not all in, man. And I'm like, what do you mean I'm not all in? Man, did you see that freezer bag of dope I just gave away? Did you see all that stuff I just gave away? What do you mean I'm not in? And he's like, no. You're not married to Jessalyn. And you're having sex with her. And you're leading her down a path of destruction. That's my beloved daughter right there. And I'm like, man, are you serious? I never considered that. We came to church when I got out of prison, you know, and I was clean, and we're feeding the homeless, and we're doing all this stuff, and it never even crossed our mind that we're living in sin. It's the world we live in. So I was at breakfast this morning with a guy, and we were talking about how rare that is to find someone who wants to do something the way that God wants to do it, especially in this arena, in this area. We laid that down. He showed up with power, and then he asked me to the money, give the money. Get that off the throne, Logan. And those three things is what it was. Three things I never considered. I never considered giving away all my dope. I was going to quit when it was done. You know, let me just get through this dope first, and then I'll quit. I mean, seriously? Come on, y'all. Did anybody ever just flush dope because they were done? I mean, maybe some of y'all did. Even if the cops were rolling in, I ain't flushing it, bro, because I could just be imagining things. I gave it away. Never would have considered that. Never would have considered laying down sexual sin. That has nothing to do with me staying sober. God, I mean, come on, man. Can't we just work on one thing at a time here? And having that as an idol is anything that's on his throne. It doesn't have to be money. It can be a hobby. It can be video games. It can be, I mean, we have just a smorgasbord of people at our Overcomers at Life Fellowship that are have all kinds of things, gambling, shopping, that are on the throne. Guess what? It's just as destructive. Mm-hmm. It's just as destructive. Yeah.
Okay. So I really love this part of our testimony, mine and Logan's together, when we laid down sexual sin. Because people can't believe it. Like, you did what? For how long? For 11 months. And we've never done that before. You know, never had a relationship without that. And so until we were married, and he was living in the Oxford house, I'd pick him up, take him to church, take him to meetings, things like that. And in that time, when Logan came to me and said, look, he called me on the phone and told this to me. And y'all, I don't know if you know any codependents or if you know what that is, but to codependent, when the man that you love says, I don't want to, like, God's telling me, this is what he said, God is telling me to lay down sexual sin with you because I want to be all in just once. If I want to be all in just once, he's telling me that we need to stop doing this. And I was like, okay, like, I didn't believe him. Like, we're on the phone and I'm a people pleaser, and I'm like, well, okay, cool, we'll do that. And then I hang up the phone and I'm like, what? Like, to me, in my codependent mind, this just...
I said the same thing when I hung up the phone. What did I just do?
So Logan looks at me crazy when I explained what he did to my mind, or what my mind does to me. My mind told me, this guy doesn't like you anymore. He doesn't have any interest in you anymore. You have nothing to offer other than your body. And so basically he's trying to ease away from this situation. And so that was my fear, driven from 100 forms of fear. Okay, that was one of mine. And my identity was in whether y'all liked me. And if you didn't like me, and I wanted you to like me, it killed me. And that's what my codependency brain used to do. So the really cool part of us laying down sexual sin and being willing to do that, he laughed at me when I told him what my brain was saying to me. He's like, no, are you crazy? Like, all you have to offer me is sex? No, that is just crazy. It's just stop. Thank God, you know, I could trust him with that. And so we continued for 11 months. It was awesome. And one day we looked at each other. It wasn't very long after, like maybe a few weeks. And we were just like watching TV together. And we looked at each other. We were like, we haven't thought about sex in a long time. Like, I haven't even thought about it. Have you? No. And God removed it from us. So this is another thing that if we're just a little bit willing and to follow God, he will come through and take the rest and pull you all the way through. Just a little bit of willingness. As crazy as my brain was, he still removed it. And yes, I was on my knees in prayer. Yes, I realized I needed to find out who I was in Christ and what my purpose was, that it wasn't sex. And, you know, and yes, I had to go through that on my own journey during the time before we got married. And God came through. Amen.
And there's a promise that goes with that on page 63 of the big book that says, we had a new employer. Being all powerful, he provided what we needed if we kept close to him and performed his work well. And so after hearing that from him, if I'm going to keep close to him and perform his work, think about that in your daily life as you're going along life. Are you going to lie in this situation? Are you going to be shady in this situation? Are you going to do this little shady thing? Look, man, we're all humans. We're going to fall to sin. But if we can start thinking about, man, God's going to provide all that I need. Not only did he give us the power to not do that, but I noticed a few months later, I hadn't looked at pornography since that day either. And I had looked at pornography every day of my life, bro, since the invention of the iPhone. It was daily, unless I was locked up. And it just, out of the blue, I was like, whoa, I haven't even thought about porn. He provides what we need if we keep close to him and perform his work well. But it's not just a magic thing. We can just run around, just keep on living any way we want to live. That was what I always fell victim to. I'm just going to keep on doing life like I want to do life. Come on, God, show up. But we have to keep close to him and perform his work well. Philippians 4:9 says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." That's a whole lot of riches. He's got a lot to provide us with. And here's the word diligent. It was down here. I put it in the wrong place. But it means careful, steady, and hardworking. Because once again, it's a totally different scripture. It's Hebrews 11:16, but it's the same theme. He rewards those who diligently seek him. He says that all throughout the Bible. So I've got to be in my walk with him, in my seeking him. I got to be careful. I got to make sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Steady, I need to be persistent and hardworking. I need to work at it. I'm going to have to put effort into this relationship with him. And for many of us, for me, I'd spent decades not doing whatever I wanted to do. It's hard sometimes. And that's why a lot of times we're bad at that. We're bad at being diligent in seeking him. But I want to encourage you that if you can just take a step, if you can just do a little bit more today than you did yesterday, he will show up.
Yes. And one of the things that I needed to learn is what God's original design was for my life. And that happens when we diligently seek his word. And he will transform you in that. And, you know, I was saying, I'm not going to like who I'm going to be if I follow the commandment. I'm going to be a nerd, you know. What am I going to do? Knock on doors and sell Bibles? That sounds really boring. No, my life is not boring today. But also my life is my purpose. The original design for Jesselyn was not to drink, use drugs, lie, cheat, steal, sleep around. I have a much bigger calling on my life, and so do all of y'all. Amen. God has a calling on each and every single one of you. And when you walk in obedience, you will find that calling. You will be walking in that calling. And God will show up in amazing ways and use you in amazing ways and work through you in amazing ways. And you will be like, I have never had a high as big as when I know God just used me and showed up. And Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." And this is absolutely true. Seek first the kingdom of God and stop living in the flesh. And if anybody out here today is having an issue with letting go of something, we have probably gotten rid of mostly everything. Nothing you tell us will shock us. We will not turn away from you. We will not, you know, give you a crazy look. But we can give you suggestions on how to step away from that. And remember, you just have to be a little bit willing. And come see us after the service, and we will be happy to pray with you to give you suggestions on what you could do today.
You know, I have a mentor that tells me all the time in that verse, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added. You know, we've spent so much of our life seeking the things, seeking this thing that's going to burn up one day. When we stand before him, the money, the material things, the house, whatever, he's like, if you seek the thing, if you seek heaven, you're going to get heaven and the things. If you seek the things, you're going to miss both. You're going to miss heaven and you're going to miss the things. So let's start seeking something new. And it doesn't have to just be this huge, like, step. It can be a small step, man. Like, God honors any little effort that we make at any point in time. To even look his way, to any effort that we make to connect with him. He's you heard me talk about my little dog, you know, and how he bit my finger off and he messes up my house and I just love this little dog, man. And I don't, when he does choose, he always goes to Jesselyn. He loves her better. But when he does choose to come my way, man, I'm just so happy that he came my way, even if it's for a few seconds. I don't sit there and say, well, you know, man, the last few days you've been running around over there and you chewed up my shoe the other day. So hold on, go fix all that and then maybe I'll love you. No, I just love him, man. Like, God is just waiting for you. He's not disappointed in you. He's not just putting up with you. He's not just rolling his eyes at you. He knows you by name, and he's waiting just like I wait for little Brucey to come and just look my way. Man, I'm telling you, God gave me a revelation of his love through this dog. Yes. And it's an amazing thing. I'm so grateful for that. Mm-hmm. All right. Psalm 40, verse 2 and 3 says, and see if this is true in your life. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. If you haven't experienced that, again, I encourage you to get a sponsor and work these steps. Yes. I thought for years if I just went to church, they're doing baptisms again. Let me get baptized. Maybe this is a magic time. Maybe this will be the thing that happens. I have to actually do something. And when I take one step, just like that in Luke 15, when the son was in the pig pen, when he just got up and he just took a few steps towards the Father ran to him. But we've got to take some steps. We got to get out of the pig pen. Many people come to church these days and they come in and they've got all this sin and Jesus meets them right where they're at and they stay in the pig pen. They don't do anything about it. They know all about Jesus, but they don't know him. Guys, we must know him. We must know him. He will pull us out of that and set our feet on a rock. He'll put a new song in our mouth and a song of praise to our God. And then this is the last part of that I want you to all hear. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord because of us. They'll see us like it's not even about us, man. I thought for the longest time, hey, look at me. I'm not getting high anymore. I'll pick up my three-month chip, my four-month chip. And y'all would all laugh and be like, dang, I lost money on that one. You know, because, yeah, that's who I was. But it's not about me picking up a chip. It's so other people would see, dang, man, I saw that guy before, and he's staying clean. And so other people can see, and they will put their trust in the Lord. Like, that's what it's all about, man. And when you can find, if you can just hang in there and keep walking until you see that happen in your life, man, it's that feeling that Jocelyn was just talking about. There's no drug, no alcohol, no sexual encounter, no amount of money that I can buy a bunch of stuff with that'll touch that feeling.
Yes, amen.
And this is a promise from God, y'all. Page 25, this is a great promise of the big book, says the great fact. It calls it a great fact. You know, it's almost saying, yeah, we got some promises, but this is a really good promise right here. Is this and nothing less that we have had deep and effective spiritual experiences which have revolutionized our whole attitude towards life, towards our fellows, and towards God's universe. The central fact of our lives today is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. He has commenced to accomplish those things for us which we could never do by ourselves. And this is not just not doing dope. This is not just not staying in a codependent state where you're controlling things and you're miserable. This is not just white knuckling. I'm not going to look at that website. Yeah. He does those things, but then he does so many other things for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. And we could talk for hours up here about the things that he's done in our lives that we could never do by ourselves. But again, we have to do the work. We have to work the steps. I'm going to say it again. This echoes that 12th step, which is, I think, the greatest promise, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. And then the last part of that step is we tried to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. It's not just so we can have a spiritual experience and say, yay, look at me, I'm having a spiritual experience. It's so we can take that and carry that message to somebody else and to practice these principles in all our affairs. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing promise, and it will come true if you get a sponsor and you get through these steps.
Yes, do the steps.
All in.
Okay, so once you have the relationship with your Creator, with Jesus, you have a huge target on your back. That's what we say. Yep, and you are in a war. Don't be scared, though, because he who lives in us is greater than he who is in the world. And one of my favorite things is being a warrior for Christ. And so my favorite battle scriptures, I'm going to give you only two. Actually, two of my favorite. And this is what I have to say, because once we start walking with God and changing our lives, the enemy or our flesh or whatever you want to call it comes in and starts saying to me, well, you're gonna turn back to the sexual sin, or you're gonna, what are you trying to do? Like, you're gonna relapse, or you're no good. You're never gonna be hireable. You're never gonna be employable. You know, all these things that go on in my head, and I have to battle that. My favorite is something you might have heard before. It's kind of a popular scripture. It's 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, or she is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, new has come. So when the enemy comes in and tells me, oh, you're nothing but a blah, 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 whatever, I can say, no, I'm not. That girl is dead, and I'm a new creation, and that girl doesn't do that stuff anymore. And so you can just get out of here, because I'm not going to, you know, listen to that. And so I tell all my girls that I sponsor that same thing. This is one you got to use. The enemy's going to come in and try to talk down to you. You cannot listen, and you need to open your mouth and say the truth. And then the second one is Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And that is your sword. That's some of your swords. There's plenty of other ones. There's plenty of other ones. But this is a good start. And the enemy will run, but we don't have to be afraid of him. I am not afraid. I love praying for people. I love going to people's houses and praying in their houses to get the enemy out of there. I love teaching people how to pray to get the enemy away and for their children. God is good. His word is the truth. It's living and breathing and active. It has power. The name of Jesus has power. And that's what I live on. That's what I love. And so, Logan?
Yeah. We're wrapping this up. Mm-hmm. I promise. There's just a couple more promises that I love, and I'm going to run through them real quick as the band can come back up. Page 68 says, just to the extent as we do as we think he would have us and humbly rely upon him, does he enable us to match calamity with serenity? Is anybody going through anything? I'm going through something. I had something hit me yesterday that tripped me out for a second. But I realized this morning as I was even talking to her going through this, I'm like, hey, man, that thing, I didn't really trip out that hard. Like, it's a trip-outable thing. It's a thing that would get me going. But he will enable us to match that calamity with serenity. But we have to do as we think he would have us. Okay, so we need to think about that as we're doing life. What do you think he would have? And humbly rely upon him. Another awesome one that no one ever talks about on page 69 in the big book says, in meditation, we ask God what we should do about each specific matter. The right answer will come if we want it. So do you have a question about what you should do, the next step you should take? Get in meditation and ask God. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. This comes right out of the Bible. I'm telling you, it comes right out of the Bible. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. And so there's one, we're closing now. In the last promise that I just noticed, man, because I love the book of Jonah, and Jonah is a guy that messed up, rebelled, fallen, backslidden. Has anyone in here messed up, rebelled, backslidden, fallen? Well, Jonah, that's Jonah. He disobeyed God's command. God directly spoke to him, and he went the other way. I want you to go over here. He went over here. He ran the opposite direction. He intentionally fled the place that God wanted him to go to. He tried to flee from God's presence. He put other people in danger. He refused to preach to people that he did not like. But in chapter 3, verse 1, some bad things happened to Jonah. He got tossed in God brought a storm. They threw him overboard. A fish swallowed him up. I mean, again, some of us need to be brought pretty low before we repent, right? You don't have to. You don't have to get stuck in prison. You don't have to get stuck in the belly of a fish. You don't have to have a major catastrophe happen to you. But for Serenitarians, and I learned a new word today, Oak Grovians, maybe some of us have to have this thing. I want to welcome all the Oak Grovians. I love you guys. But chapter 3, verse 1 of Jonah, when he was in that belly and he repented, it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. A second time. Guys, he will always come back. That's a promise. He will always come back. You will always have another chance with God. This is a promise. I was at a little John Maxwell conference thing, and I heard him say this quote that was just so profound. He said, although you cannot go back and make a brand new start, you can start right now and make a brand new end. God will always come back. And I just want to say, man, if anyone wants to make that start right now and make a brand new end, we're going to have a prayer team come up. Shay, would you come up? Dwayne, you're on the prayer team. Come up. And I just want you guys, we're going to be down there too, Jesselyn and I. Maybe you want to just pray about something. Maybe God's asking you to lay something down. Maybe God is saying to you right now, imagine what life could be like if you just got all the way in one time. And maybe that you know what that thing in your heart is, but you've never confessed it to anyone. This can be your moment. This could be the day that you get all in. Maybe you want to recommit yourself to the Lord. Maybe you've strayed. Maybe you've walked away. Guys, he never gives up on us. He didn't give up on Jonah. He didn't give up on Logan. He didn't give up on Jesselyn. He didn't give up on Shay. He didn't give up on Dwayne. He's not giving up on anybody.
Amen. Amen.
James 5, 19 and 20 says, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Two things I want to say about that. One is, man, that's sponsorship right there. If you haven't gone through the steps and had a spiritual awakening and are sponsoring someone, man, you can experience that. You can turn that person back and save them from death and cover a multitude of sins. And another thing that this just says in an overarching way, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, that tells me that God he really, really cares for people that have strayed from him. He really, really cares deeply about someone that might have known him and strayed, yes, might have walked away, maybe you relapsed, maybe you fell back into that thing, but he cares deeply about those people. And so I just want you to know, man, that he loves you, that he cares about you. He's looking at you just like I look at my little dog. I don't care what he does. I just love him. We don't need this dog in our house. In fact, I said, we're only keeping one, but I kept this one because I love him. I don't, and it's a hassle, but I just love him. This and how much more does God love you? And so if there's anything on your heart, I want you to come up and I want you to just have somebody pray with you. There is power in prayer. Chains are broken in prayer. I'm here today because people at Serenity Church prayed for me while I was out shooting dope and selling heroin and living in hotels for 6 months. I got back here and somebody said, hey man, Logan, nice to meet you. I've been praying for you for 6 months because Jesselyn in her codependency had all y'all praying for me. Praise God for codependency. Because it brought me back from all right, I'm going too far. God, as I love you,
yeah, we love you. Thank you.
We're done. We love you. We really want you to come up and have a moment with God if he's knocking on the door of your heart. And I believe that he's knocking on some doors.
Yes.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.